Oh, one thing I was going to ask you is that when you were on the commission, these were years leading to the 1974 public hearings. Do you remember those? The reports, I've read some of the reports, and one of the things that seemed clear was that the city had decided, or the planning department had decided, that the hearings, that the people should be consulted before recommendations be made. So there were public hearings, and then out of the public hearings, they made recommendations. And this was because of the concern about growth in Burnaby and town planning.
Yes, yeah. Now that started back in the late 60s under Tony Parr. And he was good about that, planning and so forth. And there was one called Urban Structure, which came out, which gave a good idea of how it came about and put forward and so forth. And then we participated in that. And then one time back there, just before the 70s, there was a 5-day community meeting. It was down at near Brentwood there at the community hall, and we were meeting there and different groups, and what we wanted to see in the field of residential, in the parks and finance and all these, and we sat in different groups, you know, and tables, and come up with our different suggestions and so forth. And they were, I remember, they were talking about 75 people per acre, you know, and whoa, yes. we went wild. 75 people per acre, you know, and hey, you know, and then there was outrageous thoughts about putting swimming was a big thing, you know. We don't have enough swimming pools, and we should have part of the school. Every high school should have part of their gymnasium have a swimming pool with it that they could participate in that. And well, there was all sorts of ideas come out of there, and well, that was good old days.
Yes, well, and one as a result of the public hearings, it was determined that the public desired, and I quote, to conserve the traditional landmark character of the mountain. And Burnaby's planning department recommended, this was one of, I don't know, there were 12 or 16 recommendations, I've forgotten how many, about growth, how to manage and plan for growth in Burnaby. And the council, it recommended that council, and I quote again, that council approve in principle the establishment of a conservation area on Burnaby Mountain in addition to those lands occupied by Simon Fraser University and Burnaby Centennial Park. That's where
it was Burnaby Centennial, yes.
The pavilion. So one of my questions then is, tell me what conserving the traditional landmark character of the mountain means to you.
Well, the fact that it's Simon Fraser is so built up now, and you got a road up there. Sure enough, there's a few trails that were established there, and they were initially established for people who wanted to do a little more aggressive hiking. Because I was involved in the trail planning of Burnaby, the trails throughout Burnaby, got about over 100 miles of it, and certainly Burnaby Mountain was a major key in there. But the bicyclists have taken over. They do a lot of going up and down there and rebuild the trails according to their desires and so forth, and degree of whatever they want to do, you know.
What I was wondering though is, what does that, when you think about the traditional landmark character of the mountain, what does that mean?
It's lost. To me now, it's lost. Uh-huh. It's nothing, nothing there. It's developed. The pipeline pipeline companies or the oil companies are going to double or triple their size in there. The pipelines are going to double or triple. The houses are moving up closer and closer. You see, the water line here can only go up to the 5,000.
It was a 500-foot level.
And that's how the system, and anything above that has to be pumped up because of the Cleveland Dam level. It's the same as the Cleveland Dam. So you have to pump all your water up onto the top there, and the development and the high rises that went up there, that the land around it, you may have 1,000 acres around it, somehow it's meaningless now, you know.
Oh.
To me. At one time, I think it was a wild area that you could go up to, and there would be definitely wild. It's totally peaceful, but I don't think you can walk 5 minutes there anywhere without being confronted by either a road or some other use, you know.
So the traditional landmark character of the mountain to you was when it was wild, wild forest, wild nature.
That's one of them. Because even with Bob Gardner there, we called it, when he made rhododendron, the Burnaby flower, and he says, well, no, it should be the trillium, because up on Burnaby Mountain, that's a natural area for the trillium. I said, well, yes. Where can we go see it? Well, he said, very few places now, because of the, even in those days, he said, because it's more and more traffic, and any time there was a little open area, you could find a trillium. But, and now, of course, that's being decimated.
Do you think that the mountain or the conservation area could be managed in such a way that would bring some of that character back?
I could, but the city would never, or the whoever would be in charge of the finances would never put the money in to restore it the way it was. And we don't know if the restoration has not been too successful in other areas, because the way we restore land, we want to bulldoze it all off, clean the land up, and plant our own trees our own way. And that's not the way nature does. Mm-hmm. Nature burns itself down, and it's the coniferous trees and other things, they grow up in the ashes of it after the soil had been sterilized. In the Kootenays and so forth, they have been replanting trees there by the millions, you know, and then they go back on about 20 years later, and these young trees are dying. Mm. And wonder, what in the world is this dying from? And they're, they cut the old forest down. They left the stumps there. You know, sure, they cleaned the land up, but the stumps are there. But there's a fungus that starts up, and that erodes the roots. Well, the young trees will grow, and they grow so far, but when they get to about 20 years, that's when they look great, all of a sudden they start dying. What's wrong with it? They got this fungus in it. Oh. Where did they get it from? They got it from those old roots, so you got to get rid of those roots. By lifting out the roots, is that good enough? No, you got to burn it. You know, that's the way the life is. Water, fire, and you know, that's what makes our...
Well, it certainly is an urban forest now. Even if we can't get the wild character back, do you think it still has value as an urban forest for the people of Burnaby?
It has value, yes. Yeah, it has value, those who are using it, you know, of course, and those who like to look at it. But a good one to see how people use things is that Burnaby's got a very good one. In fact, they figured it was the best in North America. That when I showed it around at one of these conventions, we had a park study done. And in this park study, it's a big book like that, you know, and the first one was done in 1970, and then there was one done a few years after, you know, like every 10 years or so, they re-update it and so forth. And what people like to do. Now, they spend an awful lot of money on Burnaby Lake, you know, and, you know, multi-millions, you know, that multi-millions have been spent on Burnaby Lake. But when you look at the study of Burnaby Lake, there's less than 5% of the population that could go out that ever been there at least once a year. So I said, if less than 5% have gone there less than once a year, will I spend money on it? And of course, I said, that's we got to get something better. You got to show me more greater use or demand or love for it, or show the public wants it. What do the people want? They want wider sidewalks, so they can walk around their neighborhood and meet their neighbors and not be confronted with telephone poles and all sorts of poles in the middle of the sidewalk. This is what they ask for. They like to walk around their neighborhood. But it's not comfortable to walk around their neighborhood. You look at some of our sidewalks there, you know, all sorts of poles and telephone poles, and it's in the middle of the sidewalk.
Are people not concerned about having a healthy environment around Burnaby Lake or up on Burnaby Mountain?
Well, there was a short period, there was a great desire for it, but then these people have all moved into nursing homes and died off and so forth, and we have the new people who come over, and unfortunately we didn't have that mix of people immigrating, but we have one type of Asian people, and this is not their thing. And I don't blame them. I'm not going to condemn them for it, but this is not their thing to, I mean, to have a little bit of, say, 20-foot of space beside your house, and it's just grass. They're very annoyed with it. I was on the court of revision, you know, where they look at the taxes on properties and so forth. I was there for 4 years. And that was quite obvious there to me. They were very annoyed when they had an 80-foot lot and their house is on 50 feet and they got 30 feet on the side and all they have to do is cut the grass. He says, yeah, drop the land, the value of my land out. He says, it's costing me nothing but money. I can't use it for anything. It's no good for nothing.
But what about parks, though? It seems like Asian people are like parks.
And they like if it's, well, from what I can see, if it's organized, they got all the things there to do, you know, and so forth. But not, I haven't seen that many of them who enjoy a natural area where you've got wild this and wild that growing and so forth. And what it's good for, you know. There is Green Jack or whatever his name is. He takes a group around Burnaby Lake there, and he's got about a dozen types of greens that he shows the Oriental people. They come on a bus, you know, and they tour them down. This is a fir tree, you know, and this is this tree. And that. But it doesn't mean anything to them because they don't have any of that.
So perhaps the arguments will have to be changed then. So how would you go about convincing people that preserving and maintaining natural areas is really important?
I found in my time in the parks and so forth, you can't convince them. If they're not, if they think it's a wasted property, you can't convince them that there's living bugs in there, there are living things and all these other living things that need that area.
Can you appeal to their, I'm just thinking, there's a whole new generation of young people coming up that perhaps, I'm just wondering how are you going to argue with them that they need to be concerned and aware of preserving natural areas?
There's less and less of them coming around now. I think, first of all, our teachers are not taking them out at schools like we had before. Like Bob Gardner would take the class down to Burnaby Lake there, and he'd dip down there, and he'd see the bugs, the tadpoles, and all the other living things, and he'd take it back to their aquarium, and then they look at it, what's growing there and what's not growing there. What is this all about, you know, how it evolves, and so forth. And later on, Mr. Gardner, not again, Burnaby Lake, you know. Then you got to get the right teacher. We had a good nature, at the Nature House, we had a great teacher there, and Jolie, and with little kids. They followed her around like the Pied Piper, you know, and she'd go out there and find a big snail, you know, and pick up the snail and talk to them about it, and take the turtle and put it in a bathtub and look at it, and they followed her around and they'd bring her bugs. What is this? What is this? You know, you don't have that anymore. Those people are gone, and we didn't teach the new people to come in. We have them. They're trying hard, but they're not. They don't have enough money, and to do the job now. Now it costs more money than before it didn't. You get the class together there, you went on a walk, and you even had them stay there overnight in the lake, you know, by Burnaby Lake there, and bring their little something there, and they'd have to listen to the things at nighttime. The life is at nighttime, and Jolie would come up there and stay up all night in the sawdust pile there and listen to all the things that happen at night. This is when the life, everything comes to life. Where are those people now? I feel sorry that we don't have them. People don't want to do that anymore. And us guys who were doing that before are burnt out, you know. I can't do it. I can't even get down there. I hate it, but I can't. I'd love to go down there and watch the fish go up, you know,
yes.
because now the fish are finally coming up the lake again. Does it mean anything to the young people? Unless we get our schools there, taking them down every year, every class must go down there at least once. Yeah. We wanted to do that with Tom Constable, who was running for mayor, and that was his main platform. He wanted to take the Ocala lands there and leave it as a farm. And they'd have the sheep there, and they have the gardens there, and then they have all the other animals, and then they could, every month the kids' classes would come down there, and the little kids would see if there was the lambs were coming on, they would be brought down there, and they'd see it, and this was his argument. Well, the Chamber of Commerce just poo-pooed that right down. He never got anywhere with that. And that's where you teach the young ones about this sort of thing, and how many young ones have seen the young lamb, you know, that lived in the city here, or a young calf being born, or how to plow a piece of land. In fact, I used to plow my backyard with a team of horses here, you know. I was the last in Burnaby to use horses because it was economical, and it would do the work of a truck or tractor, and it didn't cost as much. I'd bring up the team of horses that was still available in Burnaby, and I'd plow up the backyard, and
yes.
people, a crowd of kids would come around and watch that, you know, but